I would imagine there's no one in my audience today who is severely concerned about the disease of cholera. C-H-O-L-E-R-A, cholera, which destroyed millions of lives, at least hundreds of thousands, all through Europe and America in the early days, Britain and Europe. We're not concerned about dysentery. Most of you are not. That's not one of the concerns. You might be concerned about cancer or something else, but you're not concerned about dysentery. Most people are not concerned about typhoid fever, or yellow fever, or scarlet fever, or measles, or whooping cough. Most people are not concerned about diphtheria. You know, what makes it so deadly is that there's a virus that infects in your body, this diphtheria. Or a typhus fever. Most people don't know what typhus fever is. It's different from typhoid fever. And it's caused by a certain bacterium that gets in you. You get all these. Now, why aren't you concerned about that? Dysentery killed so many thousands of American soldiers during the Civil War, both from the South, more from the North. They got dysentery. Because why? Well, dysentery, you're drinking water. They're having to look for water. They drink it out of the stream. They don't know. They're not carrying canteens and everything. They're drinking water wherever they can get it. And some of these streams were polluted, and they got amoeba and different cells in their body, and they caused dysentery. They could get worms and worm eggs and stuff. They're drinking this water. Okay, one of the greatest advances in eliminating diseases, all of these diseases I just mentioned, including tuberculosis, I think, that have all these diseases that have struck mankind, human beings, and the public, especially in Britain and the United States, the greatest advances have been sanitary living conditions, good sewer systems, fresh, clean water, protection from the elements. You know, you got to be in and out of the snow, the rain, you know, the heat, the cold. Quarantines. We figured out quarantines. Controlling infections. Most of them have been eliminated. Most of those diseases have been eliminated just by sanitary conditions. We don't let our human waste go into our water systems. Now, there are countries all around the world that still fear cholera, still fear dysentery, still fear some of these situations, worms that are in their bodies and eating on their bodies and eating on the food they eat. Even diphtheria, we've pretty much taken care of the effects of diphtheria and a lot of these things, even whooping cough, because we're stronger in our immune system. If you can get stronger in the immune system, if you can't, you have to take antibiotics. So most of these have been eliminated just by following the Bible's sanitary conditions. Now, here's one disease called puerperal fever. Puerperal fever is a disease that has been fortified, strengthened by Dr. Arrogance. Doctors entered the midwifery at the turn of the century and beginning of the 1900s, but they didn't take a lesson from the midwives. They should have watched what the midwives did, and the midwives washed their hands. Seeing many deaths a guy by the name of Dr. Oliver Wendell Holmes from the United States, and another one from Austria, Dr. Ignaz Semmelweis, tried to get the medical profession to wash their hands and practice their, if they're going to be in the business of delivering babies, practice more like the traditional midwives did. They wrote letters to the medical profession. They were ignored. And not only ignored, they were even professionally attacked for their views. Medical profession is sometimes very arrogant. After years of mental anguish watching these women die needlessly, they both felt the need to leave. Dr. Holmes became a writer. He stopped becoming a physician. In 1865, Dr. Semmelweis was hoodwinked into entering a mental institution for the insane, and when he tried to escape, he was so severely beaten in Austria that he died from his wounds. Dr. Wendell Holmes did write, he wrote a book about it. Okay, he wrote a book about it, and he lamented that. One of his statements some years ago was, people would be better off if everything in the drugstores was dumped into the ocean. However, it would be lamentable for the fishes. There are about 100,000 diseases listed in the International Classification of Diseases. Actually, there are more than that. More than that now, because that my source is a little old now. But here's the ones that you need to worry about. The top 10 diseases are responsible for the vast majority of deaths from disease in this country and pretty much in all advanced countries. Here they are. Heart disease. Cancer. Stroke, chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, COPD, where you got stuff in your lungs, you can't breathe well. Accidents, diabetes, influenza and pneumonia, Alzheimer's disease, dementia, kidney disease, and septicemia, which means the blood poisoning, you know, like sepsis. You get blood poisoning, things that you do, you scratch it, you do something, it gets in your blood, the bacteria gets in there, you die. Those are the 10. Most all of those are lifestyle diseases. If you can avoid those 10 diseases, you'll probably live a long, healthy life. Most of those, like heart disease, are the result of bad foods, man-made fats, lack of exercise, lack of good breathing and aerobics or something. You're not stimulating your body. And so a lot of that. Now, the Bible has a lot to say about various diseases. You'll see it all over. What is one of Jesus' things that he did the most? Healing the diseases. Why did the people have that? They didn't have margarines. They didn't have junk foods. They didn't have fast food restaurants everywhere. Why did they have so many diseases? Answer, they were poor. They were poor. They couldn't avail themselves of all the things we have today. So the Bible has a lot to say about diseases, both as punishment and it's also what happens to ordinary people. You know, one of the great prophecies that was promised and threatened to the Israel is in Ezekiel chapter 5, verse 12. He says, one third of you will die by plague or be consumed by famine among you. Now, you think about this. God says there will be famines. Suppose there's a famine. Do you get enough nutrition in a famine? No. Are you able to fortify your body and eat the kind of foods you need in order to strengthen your immune system? No. So a famine will often lead to diseases. It's the one that follows right after. One third of you will then fall by the sword, and one third will be scattered to the wind. So a third by the diseases and plagues, okay, and famine. Famine and disease, they go together. Generally, famine and disease go together as punishments. Jeremiah chapter 21 and verse 6, I also shall strike down the inhabitants of this city, both man and beast. They will die of a great pestilence. A pestilence is a disease epidemic, a disease, okay? And you see, hear that? It sounds just like the end of the world, you know? The Bible talks a lot about diseases. It talks a lot about the things that we see that people had. And there are people that, you know, thought that old age brought on every bad thing. Listen to this quotation. This is not necessarily true. The one guy wrote, when old age descends upon you, slowness of movement appears. The eyes become dim, the ears hard of hearing, muscles become weak, every movement is difficult, and the spirit is forgetful and cannot even remember yesterday. Then I think your mind, you just become totally forgetful. No, that's not necessarily true. That is not a result of old age. That's a result of poor condition. Yet, a physician who was the physician to the Pharaoh in Egypt lived a long, happy, this is the history, and physically intact, mentally sharp life up to 100 years old. He was sharp. He was able. He was able to do things up to 100 years old. Now, no, none of us can predict the day of our death. None of us can predict what will happen. A bad accident, a fall can really destroy you. You know, you get hurt, you can't recover from it very easily. So the Bible talks a lot about diseases. People knew even what mental illness was back then. People had they understood. David must have seen people who were crazy. Because at one point in the book of Samuel, he acted crazy in 1 Samuel chapter 21. David decided before the king Achish, he got fearful of him. He thought he was going to kill him. And so in 1 Samuel chapter 21, verses 12 and 13, and David took these words to heart and greatly feared Achish, the king of Gath. So he disguised his sanity before them and acted insanely in their hands and scribbled on the doors of the gate, walking over and scribbling something, writing. And let his saliva run down onto his beard, like he's just not paying attention to any kind of hygiene or grooming at all. Whatever, he did that, and he's writing over. I got to write something. And he writes over here. You know, that's acting insane, right? You're acting insane. You're acting crazy. Okay, so here he was. Doing that in front of Achish, so that they would say, well, I don't put a crazy man to death. He's no threat. He's just crazy. But how did David know what a crazy person acted like? He must have seen them. They must have had mental diseases. They had people who were going, you know, whose minds were not working. Now, today, we believe that the mind, the brain, is another one of your many organs. You have different organs of the body, the heart, the liver, the pancreas, the adrenals, the thyroid up here, and so on, all kinds of organs. And they all need good nutrition. And the brain is another organ. The brain is another organ of nutrition. And I'm reading a book called The Sanity, the Wisdom, called The Wisdom Paradox, the wisdom parable. Why is it that we're supposed to be declining, right, when we get older, and yet studies show that people have more wisdom as they get older, make better decisions as long as their brain is functioning well, and it has to be the brain that has to function. If you have dementia, if you have diseases of the brain, if you're not taking care of yourself and the brain is not getting good nutrition, not getting enough water, you're not getting the things that the brain needs, yeah, no, you're not going to have good things. The body talks about that. Listen to this passage from 1 Samuel chapter, I believe it's chapter 25, verses 35 through 38. I'm going to read. So David received from her hand, this is Abigail now, what she brought him. And he said to her, "Go up to your house in peace. See, I have listened to you and granted your request." In other words, she said, "Please don't kill my husband. Don't come in. He's foolish. Don't do it." Then Abigail came to Nabal, and behold, he was holding a feast in his house, like the feast of a king. Well, he's just spending money, going to have, he wasn't a king. He was just but he was going to spend excessively. He's going. And Nabal's heart was merry within him, for he was very drunk. Okay. Reading from New American Standard Version. This is now verse 36. He was very drunk. So she did not tell him anything at all until the morning light. She went out and met with David. She persuaded David not to kill him. "Please don't kill my husband. It's not worthy of you. He's stupid. He's a fool. You don't want to kill him. That shouldn't be on your legacy." But in the morning, when the wine had gone out of Nabal, I don't know how drunk he was. I know people who have drunk so much that they passed out and had no memory whatsoever. This is very assaulting on your brain. Very. If you ever drink that much, you're just assaulting your brain terribly. You're going to lose. You're probably going to end up with dementia. So in the morning, when the wine had gone out of Nabal, he had a good liver to get it out of there, his wife told him these things, and his heart died within him, so that he became like a stone. You know, my dad told me about, I used to call him Uncle, and he got this message from my uncle's son. They went over, he said, "Oh, I want to write a check. I forgot. Can you take me over to my house?" They only live a couple of miles away. So he asked his son, "Take me to my house. I'm going to write a check to your daughter for her birthday. I forgot. I want to give her a check." So he took him. He went upstairs. They had a two-story house. He went upstairs, used the bathroom, and he came down, and his dad was sitting like this. Just like a stone, just like died right there at the desk. He was sitting at the desk. He was trying to write, and he was just like frozen. And he found him there, and he kept dead. And he was dead. So here's Nabal. What happened to him? Drinking all that wine eliminated a lot of B vitamins. His heart, it says, died within him, so that he became as a stone. Abigail, 10 days later, the Eternal struck. So about 10 days later, the Eternal struck Nabal, and he died. Now, he died within him, but did he have a stroke? Did he die from a heart attack? And the Bible says that the Eternal struck Nabal, and he died. So perhaps God struck him. Perhaps he died. You drink that kind of wine, you won't need God's intervention to strike you. You'll probably be stupid enough. This is 1 Samuel from the New English Translation. This is 1 Samuel 25, verse 37. In the morning when Nabal was sober, his wife told him about these matters. He had a stroke and was paralyzed, is the way the New English Translation has it. He had a stroke and was paralyzed. It became like the stone, paralyzed. He couldn't walk. Yes. Mental diseases. Saul, you remember Saul? He was paranoid from self-aggrandizement and losing the kingdom. He thought he was so great. Saul, he was so smart, so great. But now he was losing his kingdom, and he became paranoid. And he had David. He loved David. He first started loving David because David was out there fighting for him and conquering Saul's enemies. And what happened? After a while, he started fearing David and hating him. Hating him because he feared him. So we see these diseases in the Bible. They're diseases about children, children growing up. Listen to this, 1 Kings chapter 4, verses 18 through 21. When the child was grown, the day came when he went out to his father, to the reapers. Now he's growing, he's a young teenager, I guess. And he said to his father, all of a sudden, "My head, my head." And he said to the servant, "Carry him to his mother." When he had taken him and brought him to his mother, he sat on her lap until noon, and then he died. This is 2 Kings chapter 4, verses 18 through 21. My head, my head. Did he have a stroke? What happened to this kid? He was a young boy, young man, probably teenage boy. And all of a sudden now he has a stroke of some sort. My head, what is that? We don't know if he had a blood vessel break in his head. You know, you can have a blood vessel break in your head and then run all over. A minister that I knew, Mr. Dart, fell and hit his head on a coffee table and broke a blood vessel. He was taking also blood thinners, and the blood ran and ran before they got him to the hospital and wiped out most of his cognitive learning. He couldn't even tell time. He could no longer read. He had to learn the alphabet. He had to learn words over to read. He could, however, speak, which means that he destroyed the part of his brain for reading different from the part for speaking. Okay, when I read and speak at the same time, I'm using two parts of my brain, one for the reading part and one for the speaking part. Here's another case in 1 Kings chapter 17. It's time of Elijah. And it came about after these things that the son of the woman, the mistress of the house, became sick. And his sickness was so severe that there was no breath left in him. Now, he must have had something, no breath. He could not breathe any further. I can't take a breath. So severe that his breath was no longer left in him. Okay? And he died. And so she said to Elijah, "What do I have to do with you, O man of God? You have come to me to bring my iniquity to remembrance." Again, a lot of people, if someone they love, like a child, dies, they think it's because of their sins. People attribute everything to their sins. I probably wasn't good enough here. I probably didn't do right here. I probably should have done more good here, and I didn't do it. And that's probably why I have this disease, or my kid is dying, or my husband hurt, or that this is done, or this. Brethren, that's not the case. God doesn't do that. And especially for you as a Christian woman or a Christian man, you love God and you have given yourself to God, and God is not taking your sins, which he washed away through Christ when you were baptized, and now bringing them in and hitting you with a disease for them. No, that is not the case for us. So she thought, okay, you come to me, and he said to her, "Give me your son." Then he took him from her bosom, she was carrying him, and carried him to the upper room. So he must have been a small boy and easy to carry, where he was living. And he laid him on his bed, and he called to the Eternal and said, "O Eternal, my God, You have brought calamity to the widow with whom I am staying, causing her son to die. He attributed to God. Then he stretched himself upon the child three times and called to the Eternal and said, O Lord, my God, I pray thee, you know, let this child's life return to him. And the Eternal heard the voice of Elijah, and the life of the child returned to him, and he revived. Now, he laid on him three times. I don't know if that has anything, although some people say one human body onto another human body, bringing warmth, bringing some kind of energy might attribute to it. But I think it's a miracle from God. He asked, and look at, he called to the Eternal, oh my God, and the Eternal heard the voice of Elijah, and the life of the child returned to him, and he revived. And Elijah took the child and brought him down to the upper room from the house and gave him to his mother. Elijah said, see, your son is alive. Then the woman said to Elijah, now I know that you are a man of God and that the word of the Eternal is in your mouth. The word of the Eternal that is in your mouth is the truth. So we see this. We see it in Jesus' time. What were the people? Jesus healed. You know, there were many diseases. People came to him sometimes all day long. And, you know, Jesus sometimes would not send them away without a decent meal. And so he turned these basket of fishes into many fish. People were not wealthy. And if you got very much wealth, the Romans came with the taxation of the Romans, you know, and they all often overtaxed you. You were very poor. And the tax people hated the tax collectors because the tax collectors took out extra for themselves. They got rich, just like government workers today get rich. People in the Senate get rich. People can get rich in because they get to know what the laws are going to be and invest into ahead of time. So many people go and, you know, I mean, here's President Biden. Was it just a poor guy, and he got into the Senate, and he's been in the Senate for, you know, in the government 40 years. He's tremendously wealthy, tremendously wealthy. And he didn't get into business like Elon Musk or Bill Gates or some of these other people or other rich people like Bezos from Amazon. He didn't start a business. He just worked in government. But he got rich, okay? So people in Jesus' time, they were poor. The taxes were taken from them, and many of them couldn't make it. When you make it, what do you cut down on? I can't afford the food. I can't afford the good this. I couldn't find good nutrition. And they were hungry, and Jesus would see that. He said, I can't send them away hungry. I can't. So Jesus did miracles for people because their nutrition was down. And many of them, you know, they just didn't have enough. Now, I think we're familiar. If you're not familiar with this, you should be. What happens if you don't get enough vitamin C? You get scurvy. Your gums swell up. They get red. Your teeth get loose. There's a story about the Germans of, they were invading the British troops, British ships. They had this big, powerful ship. It was stronger in World War I than the British ships. And they just captured the British ships. And instead of coming into port and getting restocked with food and stuff, no, they took the fuel from the British ship. They took all the food from the British ship. And after a while, the Germans came in. They had to get to port. Their teeth were falling out. They had scurvy. They were not well. They were sick on the white flour and the British food that was there on that thing, and they hadn't had any fresh food. And why did they call the British Navy people limeys? They called them limeys because after they discovered that without limes, they didn't get enough vitamin C, and their teeth. Vitamin C, think of it for C as a cement. Vitamin C is a cement to your calcium and your jaw. If you don't get enough of it, your teeth will get loose, your gums will get red, you'll get scurvy, you will not feel well at all. You'll be subject to many diseases. Now, if you don't get enough vitamin D, D as in David, what happens? People who didn't get enough vitamin D, didn't get out in the sunshine, especially black people who went north in the wintertime, and there was no supplements from vitamin D. Now there are, we know that. If they don't get enough vitamin D, they get rickets. Rickets, their joints swell. They don't come together well in their knees and their elbows and so on. They get rickets. We know that if you don't get enough vitamin A, as in Antion, I'm just kidding. But if you don't get enough vitamin A, what happens? You get night blindness. You can't see well at night. You don't get enough vitamin A. So we know that McCarrison. His name, last name was McCarrison. He was a sir, and he served in the Navy, and he was a doctor. And he wrote a book called Studies in Deficiency Diseases. He showed how not getting enough of this kind of food or vitamin, or not getting enough of that. He didn't know about vitamins. He didn't know what they were. He said there's something in these raw foods that is not in just straight minerals. You can't just eat a piece of iron. You have to have something that has it in there. And there's something. He didn't know what it was. He said it has to be a vital mineral, some kind of mineral that's very vital to absorbing other minerals. But he didn't know what it was. And today we get the word vitamins, which comes from the word vital minerals. They didn't know what it was. It's some kind of living thing in these plants, vitamin C, vitamin D, vitamin E, we've discovered, vitamin B12. You don't absorb iron very well if you don't get vitamin B12. You need that for absorption of iron. Your liver needs it as well. So here we have all kinds of diseases in Jesus' day. Poor people in Britain, poor people in America, poor people in other countries, in African countries, they still fear dysentery, cholera, and other things in the beds because they drink water. When I was in England and toured the house of Shakespeare on Stratford-on-Avon, and this is the house of Shakespeare. You tour it. I had at 6 feet one at that time. I think I'm a little shorter now, but 6 feet one, I still had to duck my head under every doorway. Now, I know some basketball players would have to duck their head under my doorway. If you're 6 feet nine, 6 feet 10, 6'11", you'd have to duck under here. Because my doorways are probably around 7 feet high. And so if you come in and you're over six, close to, or probably 6'8" or something here, but if you have to duck your head, you hit. So you see these short beds, short doorways, and the docent that was taking us around, she said, you'll notice the beds are very small. People were very small in that day. And the reason was, the water was polluted. They drank beer. They drank whiskey. They drank other things. They gave it to their kids. And I had a woman who raised dogs. She raised chihuahuas, and she didn't want them to get too big. What did she do with them? She poured vodka in their water. They drank the water. It had vodka in it, and it stopped their growth. It stunted their growth. It does. So we know, I don't know what mechanism it does that by, but it stunts your growth. Many scriptures in the Bible have to do with diseases. Blindness of the eyes is talked about. Paralysis, crippled feet, crippled kids, deformities. Listen to Leviticus chapter 21. About who can be in the priesthood. Then the Eternal spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to Aaron, saying, no man of your offspring throughout their generations who has a defect shall approach to offer the bread, in other words, the showbread, the bread of his God. For no one who has a defect shall approach. Now he names the kind of defects: a blind man, or a lame man, or he who has a disfigured face. You get hit and your face is disfigured. You have a disfigured face. Or any deformed limb. You're walking along and one of your limbs has got like polio or something, and the other limb is hanging. If you have a deformed limb, or a man who has a broken foot, or a broken hand, or a hunchback, you got you're deformed, or a dwarf, or one who has a defect in his eye, or eczema or scabs on his face, or crushed testicles. No man among the descendants of Aaron the priest who has a defect. So there were defects of people. There were troubles back then. Who has a defect is to come near to offer the eternal's offerings by fire. Since he has a defect, he shall not come near to offer the bread of his God. Now, that doesn't mean he's, you know, if you have a defect, that doesn't mean you're any less acceptable to God today. You can be that way today. We don't have a temple. We're not offering burnt offerings and sacrifices. You're not there. You have to be pretty able to offer burnt offerings and sacrifices. But we don't have that. Today, it's of the heart. And we want to avoid diseases as much as we can. The Bible talks a lot about them. And we want to know more about how we can do it, what we can do to stay healthy. I urge you, to whatever knowledge you have about nutrition, good health, exercise, healthy mind, happy spirit, I urge you to do it. Put them all in effect for you. For you. And you'll be healthy. And you'll be a lot happier. I'm going to close today's service with prayer. Join me as we pray and thank God. Father in heaven, we thank you. We bless your name. We know that people, humans, have struggled from the beginning, possibly because of their own faulty decisions, possibly because of the faulty decisions of parents, faulty decisions of situations, possibly the weather patterns, other troubles. They've all plagued humankind. We have all fought against diseases and troubles and inflammations and accidents in order to stay as healthy as we can. We thank you, but in our minds being healthy, we look to you, Father, and praise your holy name. We bless that wonderful name of Jesus, our Lord, and of all he has done for us on the throne of grace. We hope that you will accept our praise and our honor and our worship today as we love you and pray to you and thank you for so much of your many blessings. In Jesus' name, amen.